Welcome to a Cigar Hustlers podcast, episode 67. This is part three of the Skip Martin Chronicles. Hope everybody got some coffee because we got one more hour to go. So this is it. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
How you doing, Jeffrey? You all right?
I'm good.
We're back on it. We hit the record
Sometimes
button.
Sometimes I wish I was a male.
All right, hour number three.
This is hour number three.
All right, what questions do you have, Mike?
Us?
We're on.
Oh.
That's all right. We talk about pee.
Okay.
We'll have to crop that up.
Sorry about that.
you can do it, Brittany. It's just a matter of...
Yeah, I'd have to
It's a matter of commitment.
But the problem is I work out my legs a lot, so they get tired. I need something to hold.
Maybe Mike can hold you up.
We'll have to cut that out.
I don't need that. And then it splatters everywhere, you know.
Maybe the raccoon can... Over there.
Even if there's a bucket.
So, Skip wanted to know if you had questions for him.
No. I'm just soaking all this in. And...
Come on,
what
Mike.
A dud.
Well, what question was I going to ask?
I don't know.
Half the stuff he's saying goes right
you.
Over my head.
You got questions for him?
Are you and your wife swingers?
No.
Okay. That was one question.
Question over.
I mean, I had a bunch of questions for you. How's it like living in Jeff Gruber's shadow?
Well, Jeff's the king, so...
He's great.
He is. He's a very nice guy.
Yeah.
He's always very nice to me when we run into each other, so... Well, he doesn't talk down to me or anything.
He's no longer, doing the tour. He's no longer doing...
I'm not doing the road work anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the great things about your whole eye-opening revelation experience of doing what you're doing is... You've gone from this idea that retailers are great and this industry is just like, you know, Willy Wonka land to seeing the dark underbelly of
exactly
slapdick.
What's really cool about Skip asking you these questions and kind of like having that interaction is he fucking listens to the podcast. Right. You know
of course,
what I mean?
I listen to every episode.
So he's on the up and up.
He knows what's going on.
Yeah.
If you got shag carpet in your humidor, you're already taking an L.
That's it. It's a fucking lie. Right. You've checked the fuck out as a retailer.
Right.
And you're just there to hang out.
Well, some of the shops you've been describing, I've seen them.
Where? Right. Somebody actually has shag carpet in the humidor.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, we've seen some
we've
shit.
We've seen shag carpet.
You're lying.
No.
We've seen...
You're making this up.
No.
Oh, my God.
I think that was Jacksonville somewhere, wasn't it?
We've seen some shit. We've seen some
One guy told us he won't buy anything if it's sold online anywhere.
Yeah. And I told him, I was like, okay,
how's
so...
that working out for him?
That's everything.
Yeah, so you're going to shut down everything in your humidor?
If I don't even know what boutique means, but if one of these small cigar guys goes, we're protecting the brick and mortar, and we only... That's because you're not big enough yet.
Right.
You're still in your first 10,000 cigars.
Yeah, wait a while.
Because that's bullshit. Because as soon as, you know... You ramp up and you get a decent shipment in, and someone from CI or JR calls you, assuming they do, you're going to fucking take that sale.
Right.
Guaranteed.
Right. Nobody's going to turn it down.
In fact, most brands die being 80%, 90% online.
Right.
We sell less than 15% to the big three. So... Because the Whiskey Rebellion Famous was kind of heavy, like at like 8 or 9% for a little while, but we sell less than 15% of our revenues to the big three. We don't do terms with almost anyone. I mean, Jeff's one of three people we'll take a payment, we'll ship before the payment's made. We don't do CODs. We don't do. We've tried to make every way possible to weed out these half-ass guys.
Right.
But if there's one thing that's the biggest danger to the cigar business in the country, it's these half-ass retailers. And there's a lot of them.
They're the majority.
Oh, there are a lot of them.
There's a lot of them. And that, you know, it's a kind of low-hanging fruit to talk about bad retailers. But
right.
if you think about it, and this is what I think I said this recently in an article, but the reason why I started smoking cigars and went from being, you know, buying one cigar to buying a few more to hanging out in the store to smoking hundreds of thousands of dollars of cigars, but it's because one of those early retailers took me under the wing and started teaching me, and there was I found a community. And if you aren't providing an environment where that happens, then you're basically killing the industry.
Right.
Because
right.
The next guy who could be me is going to find a bunch of other things they'd rather spend money on.
Right. Exactly.
Than cigars.
Well, that's how we ended up here. Started hanging out here one day, 2 days. Before you know it, I had a key, an alarm code.
Right.
Now I've got my own room under the building.
Right. Sleep on the couch when you're
right. Sleep on the couch.
He's the boss.
He's the flex option too. You know, he's there for. He's involved in every meeting. He's involved. Like, you know, we do a wig meeting every week. You know, we talk about. Just, I mean, I'm a big believer in the culture, right? And kind
right.
of developing your employees and, you know, everybody's a family. We work together, right? If we can boost this, it'll help everybody, right?
Yeah, I mean, at least weekly, I'll get an email that says, or a Facebook message or an Instagram message, because that's how you professionally communicate, apparently. hey, I never heard of your brand before. I've been doing this for 20 years. Someone said they asked for it. Can you send me some samples?
Right.
Mm. Nah.
Right. Yeah. I'm not saying no. I'm just saying that's not going to happen.
If you don't know who RomaCraft is, and look, I'm not saying we're at this point and where we are. If you don't know what RomaCraft tobacco is,
right,
you are not connected enough in the industry that you are in,
right,
to be in the industry you're in.
Exactly.
If you don't know who Crowned Heads is, if you don't know who Dumbarton Tobacco and Trust is, if you don't know who Steve Saka is, if you don't know who Nick Melillo is, if you don't know who Robert Caldwell is, if you don't know who Matt Booth is, I'm not saying you have to carry those guys' cigars.
Just know who the fuck they are.
At least I've heard of them.
You can right. you can do a great business. There's a lot of cigar stores out there, probably close to 2,700, that do a great job without selling a single RomaCraft cigar.
Right.
There's plenty of great cigars to choose from. But if you don't know who we are, then you probably shouldn't be in this business.
Right.
And you're probably the same guy bitching about online pricing. You're
right.
the same guy bitching about one of your customers
exactly.
opening a store 3 miles away. You're one of the same guys bitching about, you know, demanding customers. You know, you're that guy.
Right.
And so just do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. Shut down and let somebody else.
Get out of the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're not fucking doing anybody a service.
But, you know, there's a lot of reps like that, too.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of reps that are just, like, literally a waste of
Well, the reps that are the best
time.
Are the ones that you call and you place the order, and they never submit the order. Like, that's a fucking real thing.
Or the ones that submit orders that you never placed.
Right. I'm like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, oh, no, that's coming.
Like, yeah, the worst kinds of reps are the ones that, you know, when I first opened my store, we were ordering a lot from Great Discoveries, which was like a distributor. Because I didn't know any better. And then I got a call from Jose from my father. At that time, he was working at Puros Indios.
Okay.
What's it? Jose, slipping my mind.
Ortega? You know
Jose Ortega.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jose called and said, hey, do you guys, you know, I heard you guys are opened. I guess he saw our retail permit pop on the state site. You guys, have you ever heard of Puros Indios? I'm like, absolutely. You know, I've been smoking cigars since the 90s. He goes, man, I got Cuba Aliados. We'll give you 30-day terms. We'll come out and do an event. I'm like, fuck yeah. I just buy it from you directly. He goes, do you have a distributor permit? I'm like, yeah. He goes, yeah, I'll come out and do it. And then Armando from Tirano was one of the very first guys. But a lot of the Texas reps would never make their way down to Galveston. It would be like having a shop in the Keys.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the Florida rep would never go south of Miami, right? And so I showed up at the trade show with, like, a notebook saying, here's my plan for the store. Here's the stuff we do. Here's every brand that's gone. You know, Puros Indios has gone this way, to, you know, from nothing to 12% of our sales. Toronto's gone to this. And I would, like, shame the reps. Like, that guy over there, Brian McGee, CAO, you know. That dude
doesn't eat meat.
He has never come down. Fuck that guy. I want to order from you. You know, Tom Poehler, fuck that guy at Camacho. You don't even pay him a commission. I'll buy from you directly.
Right.
And then, you know, the Ashton guy, the LaFleur guy. And every one of these guys could tell you, I was a huge pain in their ass. But then I'm like, look, all I want to do is sell your product. I mean, you know, this is what you do.
Right, it's what you're here for.
You don't have to come to events. You don't have to do any of that. I live in Austin. In fact, when you're in Austin, come and see me. I'll put in the orders for Galveston. You don't even have to drive down to Galveston.
Right.
And eventually they all said, man, it turned out to be a really good account for them. But so many of them were just lazy.
Right.
And they just they weren't hunting and killing anymore. They were just gathering. Right? And so right. At what point are you just earning a commission on order taking?
Right.
Now, that said, it's also a super hard bullshit job.
Right.
Get in your car, driving 45 minutes to the next place.
Get kicked in the teeth a fucking handful of times.
Right. Exactly. All day long.
Right.
I mean, especially if you're selling something that maybe doesn't move as good as other stuff.
Right.
And
right.
It's not an easy job.
No.
By any means. But, you know, we don't have outside sales reps.
Right.
I think there's some things we miss out on, like, you know, whether stores are presenting our product correctly or whether, you know, we do the Bunder refills. We have a lot of shops where we've caught them putting, like, you know, Mode 5s in an old EMH box so they could take advantage of the bundles and they never would order the Mode 5 box or right. whatever. Those things you would catch more quickly if you had people on the road. But, you know, Mike spends a lot of days on the road.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the reasons why Mike does what he does and I do what I do is Mike has a whole lot more patience for what he does than I do. And I know you've learned a lot from Mike.
Oh, of course. I learned a shit ton from both of you. Are you kidding me?
Right.
You know? Like a hybrid of the two. You know? There's some aspects. And I mean, like, just going to the factory with you and spending a week, you know, the information that you retain is fucking crazy, right? And there's always something new, something that you didn't think about that, you know, for whatever reason you cover in that aspect, doing the blend or tasting something. Or I mean, like, the big one that kind of stuck with me this last time around is what particular tobaccos really have a spike and a bitterness off the table that really significantly mellow out into something.
Yeah, knowing what they're going to be like in 4 months.
Right,
or five, yeah.
Completely different, you know? Right. And
when they're wet, they have one characteristic.
Right. And when I blended the Habano, you know, I didn't really gravitate towards any of that stuff, right? I didn't have any of those leaves.
Yeah, because if it didn't taste good
right.
the I'm next like, day, you were like, oh, that's not what I'm looking for.
Right. You know, right. It's too sharp, right. You know? So that was kind of crazy. He's like, oh, shit. So, you know, one of the big things from my notes from the last trip was like, these particular tobacco plants, so these particular leaves, you need to take note that it's going to mellow out significantly.
Yeah, and, you know, I get questions all the time from consumers that are like, you know, what tasting notes do you get out of that? And I'm like,
Condega.
I've been smoking cigars for 30 years. You'll never hear me say
hints of cocoa,
any of that shit.
Fucking hay.
Yeah.
Good, because I hate when people do that. I feel like I'm missing out on something. But
well,
if you're not catching it either.
Colin Ganley, right. who I think has a really good palate, Colin Ganley, his case to be made for that is you have to have a language that you can use to convey taste to someone who's with words.
Right.
Right. My theory is a cigar costs $8, invest $8. And taste it for yourself.
Right. It tastes good. It's sweet.
Like, you know,
it's
what
salty,
cigar should I
spicy.
Try? Like, I get these messages on Cigar Cartel or whatever. It's like, I'm really debating about buying Aroma Craft. You know, which one should I try? It's like, fucking go out on a limb, bro. Buy three of them.
Take a leap.
It's fucking, I mean, first of all, if you don't like something we make, you don't like cigars.
Right.
I really believe that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you think it's the greatest thing ever. There's a couple of cigars we make that I'm not a big fan of just because they don't hit me the right way. And I can certainly see how somebody who likes – I can certainly see how somebody could like almost nothing we make. But if you don't – I mean, not thinking it's like an everyday cigar for them.
Right.
But if you can't smoke it and go, okay, this is a good tobacco. It's well aged. It's balanced. Then you just probably aren't a cigar smoker.
Right.
And if you're making this post about whatever, you're just probably looking for attention because make an investment. Smoke a bunch of things. If you smoke one cigar a month, then that's your deal.
Right.
Maybe that one cigar you smoke a month you may not enjoy. I don't know what to tell you. But the good news is there's not that many cigars being made today that are not decent.
Right.
I mean, most cigar stores won't carry things that are just bad.
Well, you know, what's kind of funny is the shitty, it's like the good and the bad. For me, and I'm not fucking just kind of toting for you, like, Roma Craft and the Nico Sueño stuff that comes out of that factory really is a standard for me, right? So when you use that as a comparable for a lot of other products, I mean, I have a tendency to pick them apart at this point. I'm like,
But you probably like almost everything LaFleur makes.
Yeah, it's good. They're good cigars.
You probably like the Aladino and the CLE.
The Aladino
stuff,
I thought was excellent.
Right. Because we're in that vein.
Right.
So we're kind of already in your, you know, zone.
Right.
But if you're a if you're smoking stuff that comes out of like the Ventura factory all the time.
Right.
We may not be in your vein. You might be Caldwell, Casada, Davidoff.
Right.
You may be a whole different animal.
Right.
That just may be your thing. And those are all good cigars. It's not something I would smoke every day.
Right.
Just because that's not my thing.
Right.
But if I had to smoke LaFleur Dominicana every day, I could.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And same with the Aladinos.
Or my father, or Padron. I could smoke every day.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's like that. There's stuff I used to smoke when I, even 2 years ago, that I just can't get through now.
Like, this is fucking terrible.
What I really look for.
You didn't know what first class was until you sat in fucking first class.
Oh, that's true.
You know?
It's a lot harder to blend a nuanced, mild, smooth cigar than it is to blend the kind of cigars we make generally.
Right.
It's very hard to make that kind of cigar in Nicaragua.
Right.
Because as soon as you put any kind of Nicaraguan tobacco in it, it immediately overpowers everything else. So you have to just start working from that direction.
Right.
This Cameroon project we're working on now is the opposite. And the feedback from everybody that smoked it was, you know, Danny and John and Mike, and the feedback was, this doesn't taste like anything we make. This is almost too mild.
Right.
And I'm like, but you're paying $65 a pound for the wrapper. That's what you want to taste.
Right.
How do we use other tobaccos, not low-priming tobaccos.
Right.
Tobaccos that still have texture and flavor that don't overpower the wrapper. That's a lot harder than, say, making the Neanderthal.
Right. Somebody needs to go with her. Don't let her disarm the alarm by herself.
Plus, I need another beer, I think.
Fine. You drank all the cold ones.
Yeah, they're all the prairie. You drank all the bombs.
We'll take whatever
you got,
else.
You got any Goliaths that are
cold? And Arlen needs some more wine.
He wants.
No.
No, I got something for him.
Más vino.
Oh, my God. No.
So we're doing pretty well. I mean...
But yeah, I don't know what the...
thank you.
I don't know what the... I'm trying to fill in the third hour.
Right.
I'm not really. I mean, we can talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Right.
We've had six-hour conversations.
Easy.
You're starting getting that look that you get about 4:30 in the morning on my porch.
I am.
Where you don't want to throw in the flag.
He
right.
Does that
you,
look well.
Yeah.
He's going to call you a person.
Well, you just kind of look around and he's like,
because it is 1:15
Eastern. 15 a.m.
Right.
Daylight savings time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing
all
right.
Now officially Jeff's birthday.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Jeff.
Yeah. Hey.
Gracias.
See, this whole time she acts like she doesn't understand, but she knows exactly what the fuck is going on.
You know? If we started talking about women, right. She immediately knows what's going on.
Right.
Like a radar.
Pussy.
Well, I mean, dude.
I'm surprised Mike hasn't come down to Nicaragua yet.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised about that, too. Now that you bring that to my attention.
I haven't been invited
yet. He needs, like, the whole. He needs a presentation of an invite. Like, you know.
No, I just.
You're welcome to come anytime.
There's your invite.
Thank you.
But I know, like the end of the half of the first day, you're going to be nicotine sick. So we got to get you ramped up.
Okay.
It's a lot harder than you think it is.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I mean, he knows some of the war stories that I've said, you know, and stuff like that. And,
well, next time you or Greg go, I'll tag along.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, definitely. We have an inflatable mattress.
That's my mattress, goddammit. I'll charge rent if anybody fucking sleeps on that thing. Yeah, man, it's an unbelievable experience, you know. But what's really cool is he gets to skip the fucking bullshit tour and gets right into the nitty-gritty of it, right? Like, you don't – I mean, there's a testament for, like, your Perdomo, your Cigar Safari. Like, all those things are cool. And for, like, the first experience of Esteli, I would say that's kind of the way to go, right? But – after you kind of get acclimated to it and, you know, you want to let the training wheels off and you go and kind of experience Esteli for what it is, you know, going into the factory in Nicosueños, the only way I'd do it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to do customer trips. I mean, for you to bring 5 or 10 guys down. But the problem is it's like a whole trying to manage that for me is trying to keep people entertained for 4 days.
Right. You need a Pedro.
I mean,
or
even when you come down, I don't babysit you for 4 days.
No.
I'm not with you for half of a day every day.
Yeah.
You
know? I go out and go rogue and shit.
Right.
Yeah, but there's just no comparison to going on the Drew Estate tours and the Perdomo tours and those to staying at your house, walking to the coffee shop, walking to the factory, going to the store or so. There's just no comparison.
Yeah, but I mean, the majority of people will be staying at Los Arcos. Right. You know, they're not at the level that, you know. Yeah.
Well, but it is good for your first trip to go on Camp Camacho or to Drew Estate or the Rocky Trip or whatever. That's what I did.
Right.
And I mean, even if somebody comes down for the first time with me, I'll generally take them over to AJ's. I'll generally take them and say, you know, this is what a big factory looks like. Now, when you look at our factory, you can see all those things happening in a much more compact way. I mean, every factory does basically the same thing.
Right.
Every factory has a mojadero, a secadero, sorting, a bodega of finished, you know, tobacco that's ready to roll.
Right.
They sort out the buncher roller tobacco, the buncher's rollers, the quality, the aging, the packaging, shipping. That's every factory.
Right.
Some factories also have their own pre-industry, fermentation, pilones, in which case we always go over to Nicoprosa and see. I mean, I think it was like your third or fourth trip, we went over and saw Gus Cura.
Right.
Gus Cura can load, put enough on your brain to, you know.
Fuck yeah.
Make you dizzy in about a week.
Right.
For a week. But yeah, it's not a super complex process making cigars, but it isn't easy. Either. Right. Meaning it's not rocket science.
It's simple.
It's very simple.
But not easy.
But it's not easy, yeah.
Right. Cool. Is that all you got?
That's it.
Is that all you got?
All right, that's all I got. I don't know what else to, I don't know what else I could tell you unless, you know, if I was a tree, what kind of tree would I be? Or, you know. Are you trying to Roy Firestone me?
This worked into a third episode.
You know, it's really kind of cool. You know, something that you don't talk about a lot is the preparation for the show. So, like,
that you guys prepare?
Yeah, just all the way around. I mean, yeah, you get to fucking.
I can generally turn any question into a 30-minute response.
Right.
Because I have a lot of strong feelings, and I can articulate what I want to say. But if you just said, "Hey, sit down in front of this microphone and talk for an hour, make up shit." It would, you know, nobody cares about that.
Right.
So, you know, some of the really good podcasts, they do a really great job of kind of knowing what these questions to ask are.
Right.
Like, you know, the questions we were talking about with Jeff. Or.
I wasn't prepared for Jeff.
Yeah. The Hot Ticket guys, if you listen to their podcast.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Those guys crack me up. I mean, they talk everything from...
They're insane.
They have scatological conversations.
They're everywhere, all over the place.
And then there's a new podcast that just came out, The Lounge Experience, the ladies up in New York.
Yeah.
Which is pretty. I'm looking to see how that evolves.
What about Sultans of Smoke? How do you feel about Sultans of Smoke?
I like Mo a lot.
Right.
Danny is comic relief.
Right.
The other two guys crack me up. There's one called The One and Only Rebar, which is, you know, which is just basically literally guys sitting around bullshitting.
Right.
It cracks me up. J-Dub does that with
he's a good dude.
Fingers. Yeah. JP Fingers.
They're popping up. A couple of them are popping up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I there was a point in time, maybe early on, like right after the cigar store closed, where we were doing these herfs online,
right?
Where 8 or 9 guys would dial in live, and we would just talk about whatever. Those were all interesting, but a lot of the newer podcasts are kind of that, but in a
more of a documented kind of
form,
a, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many times you can hear Nick Melillo go on to a podcast and talk about being the king of Connecticut broadleaf,
right,
or whatever. Because there's 1,000 other more interesting questions I would ask Nick.
Right.
Not, you know, tell us about your first cigar and how'd you get started in the cigar business.
Yeah, that's kind of the shitty part, right?
I mean, one of the things I like about what you guys do is you're talking to the guys in the industry, you know, just giving people kind of a perspective. A lot of people want to be in this business.
Right.
I mean, so we posted this job recently for the warehouse.
Right.
And it's really a low-end job. It's pack boxes, pool, stuff for the warehouse.
Right.
It's really meant for, like, you know, somebody who's somewhere between the Gap and a real job.
Right.
Right. But we've had all these guys that are like, I'll move there and do this. I'm
right.
Like, literally, dude, you got 4 kids.
Right.
You make $70,000 a year. This is not a job for you.
No, I mean, I've actually spoken to some of those guys, too, and they're like, hey, I put my hat in. I'm like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
You know, like, how do you say don't? No, you're good.
Well, of
good.
Course, we're not going to set anybody up to fail, but...
No, of course not. And you know, you obviously identify those people and say, hey, you know.
But, yeah, there's people who want to be in this business. It's like, I get that you want to do what I do.
Right. He's already had the dust done.
But the reality is, I have an MBA from essentially an Ivy League school.
Right.
I got 25 years of working in Fortune 500 companies at the highest level.
Right.
At... millions of dollars.
Right.
Right. Like, you can't just, you know,
you're not just
jump
walk in
and
in.
Do what I do.
Right.
Yeah. Which has been kind of the interesting thing about, you know, I mean, look, going over and negotiating shit in China, I wouldn't wish that on my worst fucking enemy.
Right.
I think we were halfway into that Xiaomain story. Fuck that. I hated it. Someone told me a story. I always want to tell you this, Mike. I don't know if I ever told you this story. And there's like a little short version of it that is the difference between commitment and involvement is ham and eggs.
Right.
The chicken is involved, but the pig is committed. Right. And then, you know, like in China, it's like, you know, we'll make a business.
Uh-huh.
You know, you bring the ham, I'll bring the eggs, and we'll make a great business.
Right.
That's China.
Exactly.
And China thinks in 500 years, 1,000 years. And, you know, like the whole canal project in Nicaragua, they just want to own the world.
Right.
They're like the Borg. They're like the hive. You know, you will be assimilated. We will have all your stuff.
Right.
You buy our old cheap shit, you know, borrow money from us to buy stupid shit in the short term, and we're going to own everything.
Right.
I mean, they're already thinking about how they're going to mine the fucking ice cap when it melts.
Right.
You know. And so they could be the first ones off the planet to mine the next fucking place. Right? That's the way they think.
That's
right?
The way they think. They do.
Yeah.
You sit at a table like this, it's a collective decision on anything. From when do you go to the bathroom, what are you going to have for lunch, or when the meeting's over. One guy will make the decision.
Yeah, but if you want to be in the cigar business, here's my going back to my baseball analogy thing. Go work in a cigar store.
Right.
Humble yourself, work part-time in a cigar store. Sweep the fucking floor.
Put in the work.
Clean the bathroom.
Right.
Stock the shelves. Learn all the cigars. Learn how the system works. Learn how the store works with customers. Learn how the store works with purchasing. Now you want to open a cigar store? Now you know what you need to have to
right.
do it.
Right.
Don't fuck the guy over that gave you the job.
Right.
Go somewhere else and open a cigar store. And then, you know, you want to start a cigar brand? You go down to Placencia with 10 grand and they'll make you a fucking brand.
Right.
Technically not legal anymore, but let's say they, whatever. How about instead of that, go out on the road and be a sales rep like Mike.
Right.
And you realize how fast, how hard it is. I mean, Mike always says, we make it look easy.
Right.
It's not easy.
No, right? Not at all.
It's not it's not easy at all.
Right. What's kind of remarkable too is like how some of the guys, look at the you know situation, brand owners and manufacturers, and like, how the fuck did they do that? Like, I'll have that conversation. I'm like, you know, I don't know, man. You know, well, 'cause we have this whole sales force, we got this whole team, and you know, we're still not where they're at, or we're close to them, or we're just barely exceeding them in sales, but we have, you know, 100 other people to fucking pay, you know? It's like,
I've had this long conversation with Steve about, I mean, his son and his family does the packaging orders and doing all that.
Right.
We get a shipment in, we could turn out 400 or 500 orders in 3 days.
Right. I mean, you've seen crazy.
It.
Crazy.
I mean, we are, the whole process from how much movement you make from here to here is all designed in the process. And we could turn out 400, 500 orders in 3 days.
Yeah, that's insane.
And we can do it efficiently, accurately, and that is where we really win.
Right.
We win on the process side of the factory. Our segundo rate, all those things are really low. It's everything from, you know, the things we talked about before with employees,
right,
but also around just the attention to detail to every little thing.
Right.
The movement of things.
Right.
How things are, you know, to prevent errors, how things are stacked in the storage area.
Right.
But all that, all the way through to how we pack an order. And there's a lot of guys in this business that are still in a whole different league when it comes to doing some of the, even though we're small, you know, I could show up at the biggest factory in town and probably find ways to be more efficient and cost effective.
Right.
And they've been doing it for 50 years.
Right.
Because that's what I did for a living.
Yeah, they don't look to improve the process. Right.
You also can't have a brand and then come down to Nicaragua once every 2 or 3 months and then expect it to not have problems.
Right.
Saka's been doing this for 30-something years. The guy that runs the factory is Esteban's brother.
Right.
Who's just as good as Esteban in a lot of ways. Saka comes with stories like, oh, man, this happened or that happened. I'm like, yeah. I walk into the factory at noon or 1, and so I came back recently from this trip to the U.S. I came back. We had changed the packaging. Half of the shit was wrong. I had to have them take it out of the box, undo the stickers, repackage everything. We lost 3 days of work to do it.
Right.
But I was there to make that call.
Right.
Nobody in that factory would have made that call.
Right.
No, they would have just shipped it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Exactly. So you have to be there.
Right.
I mean, Arlen could tell you, every day I walk in there, there's like 5 things, 6 things, 10 things I check. I can sit in the front of the factory, and as much bullshit as this sounds, this is absolutely true. There's this symphony of sounds that are happening between the sound of the Chevettas to the guillotines to the presses to the movements to this guy moving this way with that thing, the tobacco coming this way, how many ladies are in the back, what they're doing, what they're working on today, what they're supposed to be working on tomorrow. And I can hear when there's a problem in the factory.
Right.
I can hear a sound that I don't normally hear. I could see a movement of something that I don't normally see.
It's irregular.
And I immediately know there's a process deviation, and I can say, hey, what's going on over here?
Right.
What's going on over here? No, this is why we have to do it this way, this way. And it's something I've done 100 times before, but if you're not there to tell them that,
it just goes that direction.
Right. I mean like I said, Arlen could tell you, I walk in, in the first hour I'm there every day, there's 10 little micro course corrections that happen.
Right.
And that's why I'm in Nicaragua.
Yeah.
I don't live there because of the cuisine.
Right.
Or because of the entertainment options or...
Right.
You know, it's a great place, but once you've been there 5 years, you're like, fuck.
How about you've been there for a fucking week?
I just want to go to Austin and eat some Chick-fil-A.
For a week, you're like, man.
Right.
Well, every time you come down there, it's like, hey, can you bring some decent cereal? Can you bring some...
All right. Bring some groceries.
Right.
That people don't get that, you know.
All right. So there's that the level of commitment you have to have.
So have we is this like the official longest podcast that we've ever done?
Yeah, we don't have any three-parters.
And this qualifies.
Oh, yeah, we're at 2.5 hours.
Feel free to edit any of that out.
Fuck no.
It would have been a little bit longer, but the cut out a couple of times.
Right.
But it was just seconds.
Is this the part of the show where I start asking questions?
Ask anything you want.
So, Brittany, you just recently started working here at Cigar Hustler.
I
I shoved my face with a fucking club or a cook bar or whatever.
So you're doing the bookkeeping now, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. So you've been on the periphery of this whole cigar hustler dream, from being a vape shop to being kind of a great, one of the best in the country, small, medium cigar bar stores. What's your take on the... What's it like being a cigar shop widow?
Hold on.
She's having phone issues. Phone issues.
FaceTime Greg. Now I just hung up on him.
Oh, he thinks
I would love
that.
I could do a whole show on the Mike Greg dynamic.
Oh, please.
Oof.
You should see Mike and Greg together in the factory. You know, they almost never come in together
they
anymore.
They don't go together. Oh, right. Yeah, they hardly go together.
So, like, Greg will come, spend
it's
time with me.
It's better off that way. Right.
And Mike will come and spend time with me, and the two experiences are completely different.
Right.
The me and Greg conversations are completely different than the me and Mike conversations.
Oh, I'm sure.
I believe that.
Yeah.
The two of you have gone down together?
Yeah. Initially.
Originally.
That stopped a long time ago.
Yeah. Initially.
They handle two complete different sides of the business.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
so it would be two completely different trips.
Like, it's, I mean, kind of put things into perspective. Like, when we go down, when we do IPCPR, like the first year, you know, to budget, we stayed in the same hotel room, right? We wanted to fucking kill each other, you know?
You almost did the year and went.
Yeah.
They would come on, they came
they
on the
came
floor the next
came
day.
They came almost came to blows on the floor.
They weren't even talking to each other.
Yeah.
Like, hey, how about you stand over there and do your fucking thing, and I'll stand over there and do my fucking thing.
Exactly.
And then Mike was in the middle, I'm like, what's going on? He's like, I got to stay between them.
It's
I'm not easy to deal with at the trade show.
Right. It's tough, man. It's tough. Because, you know, I mean, it's just like drinking from a fucking fire hydrant. You know, you're in constant contact with everybody and everybody who wants to talk to you, right? Yeah. Which is cool.
Plus, I'm such a perfectionist.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, is somebody going to sweep the fucking rug?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, there's seven of you motherfuckers standing around here. Do you not see those fucking ashes?
Right. You see that cellophane there?
And Mike will be like, calm down, man. It's just somebody asked there. I'm like, fuck that.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, yeah, that dynamic.
In a lot of ways, me and Greg are more alike.
Right.
In some ways, me and you are more alike,
right.
But the dynamic you guys have together is like oil and water.
Right.
The dynamic Mike and I have together is not like that at all.
Right.
Mike and I don't have the problems you and Greg have.
Right.
Because Mike and I are completely different, but we almost operate in our own spheres.
Right. Yeah, because you fucking blow in like a fucking whirlwind. He's just like, okay, man. All right.
No, that's not true. I don't ever fuck with the stuff Mike does.
Right.
Mike's one of the best, you know, Mike's really underrated in terms of the thing that Mike does. He's probably one of the best in the country at doing it.
I agree.
And you know, almost, you know, Mike, I can walk into some stores and nobody knows who the fuck I am.
Right.
Like, I was at that hearing today. Some of those people don't know who the fuck, I mean, they don't know who I am.
Right.
And that's fine with me. Mike knows the retail guys way, way better than I do.
Of course.
But, like, people online who interact with me all the time, like, well, Skip basically does everything. It's like, well,
right.
Because you have no idea what Mike does.
Right.
It's almost like Marvin Samuel and Jonathan Drew.
Right.
They did two completely different things.
Right.
For decades. You know, but Marvin built that company as much as John did.
Right. Yeah. I could say the same thing about us, I guess. So, let's leave it at that.
So, I mean, what's your...
We're going to leave it at that.
Yeah.
Leave it at that.
I was looking for some juicy stories about the inside Cigar Hustler. If we were going to have to do an hour three, I wanted to know what was the inside dope.
I guess the only thing that I can say... Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're all right. Get a little closer.
Is that I know that Mikey puts in a... It's a 24-hour thing. I mean...
That's that side of it.
Yeah. He and a lot of people don't get that. You know, he gets a lot of shit. You know, he likes to, I mean, go to the gym in the morning, get to work by 11, 12 o'clock, you know, whatever.
1 o'clock.
His ice bath.
However, we are up at 7 o'clock in the morning with both kids, getting both kids to school.
Plus, your two kids are terrorists.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
They are all boy, all day, every day.
So Mike doesn't talk about this a lot, but in his house, he has, like, this clothing, coat rack.
Yep.
And it's all these superhero uniforms.
Yep. That's all Brittany.
And literally, these kids will go put these uniforms on and just tear up the whole fucking house.
Right.
Yeah, like today.
That turns a Hulk, Superman.
Jax is like, hey, Justice and I want to play tag. I'm like, we're in the house. I mean, I'm trying to do work because I work a lot from the house. Like, how about you just play with your toys? Like, you don't need to play tag.
Well, hold on. Let's put that in perspective, though. You have an entire 25% of your entire living area of your home gated off with nothing. It looks like a fun park.
It's padded. Literally, there's two bedrooms, and their playroom is padded flooring.
Right.
Yet they go into our living room where there's stuff that needs to be break. Half our
because the little pillows are in there and shit.
Yes. Half our picture frames don't have glass in them.
It's the lava room.
Because they've been broken. And I will eventually have glass in picture frames, I would figure, in about 10, 15 years. I don't even try to replace them. But they do this. The newest game, I think, is Hot Lava. It's one, two, three, Hot Lava, and then you have to jump from couch to everything.
Did you ever see the Christmas card where they're duct taped to the wall?
Yeah.
That's the greatest.
So the little guy... justice, you know, so like, so I have a hard time disciplining them, right? So like, I'm definitely the soft, she calls me softy daddy, but he'll jump from this little red sofa thing that we have onto the couch
it's
and the
chaise lounge.
Okay.
Crossing over a this is what I gotta deal with. It's a chaise lounge. It's a chaise lounge crossing over a massive humidor.
Right.
Onto a couch.
Mm-hmm. But so, in short, this is Greg doesn't deal with these problems.
No.
Greg
has his Tinder date for the week or whatever.
Right. Greg encourages it if he's ever at the house.
Yeah. So.
He is babysitting right now while we're smoking. Well,
but the kids are sleeping.
While we're in the non-smoking.
Yes, non-smoking.
Are you sure the house
doesn't
burn down?
No, we have alerts. Yeah. We haven't gotten them.
Yeah.
And I've been in contact with Greg making sure everything's okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So now you're a referee in the Cigar Hustler game, or?
No.
No. I get very uncomfortable.
Everybody runs and hides. When there's conflict, everybody leaves.
Because Mikey and I have been together, May will be 15 years that him and I have been together. And I've seen in all kinds of ways the way that they go at it and argue. So sometimes I kind of like just...
The thing is, though... From my perspective is, and I don't see it as nearly as much as you guys do, but my perspective is, what's interesting is they're both arguing towards this objective for the business.
Right.
They have completely different perspectives about how you should go about doing certain things, but if you took either one of their arguments, they're both trying to move the business forward.
Right.
Whereas in a lot of, you know, as Jeff can attest, we covered it. Wow. There's a lot of people who have arguments within business where the business has nothing to do with the argument.
Right, it's all personal gain.
Right, right. So that's at least a positive thing.
Yeah.
Plus now you have Mike around to beat up on a little bit.
No, the guy's, he's clutch, man. You know? I try and get him on my side is what happens. I'm like, see what's going on here?
You should start trying to build, Survivor Island, your coalition or whatever.
He's like, you see how fucked up that is? And he's like, I don't know. I'm not saying that. I'm like, fuck you. You're either on my side or not.
Oh, then I have to come in and be like, leave Palmer alone. Palmer's nice. You can't bring him into it.
Yeah.
Between you. I mean, there's been some times where I've been uncomfortable between him and Greg. And I'm like, don't do this right now because...
So how much of your business is tobacco versus non-tobacco?
I would say, the vast majority of it is tobacco. Where the other stuff is probably, are you including the bar?
Yeah, everything.
Okay, so with the bar, it's probably about 40% bar and other stuff?
60% cigars.
Yeah.
So of the 60% cigars, what percentage of that is sold at the register versus sold to people you ship to?
I would say... 70% of it's in store. Maybe 65.
So I'm doing some math. It's like 42%.
Yeah.
In the store.
Okay.
18-ish percent.
Online. And it could be a lot more online, right? I could easily fucking go nuts and, you know, do your deep discount bullshit and fucking compete against everybody. But fuck that. I'm not that guy, you know? I believe in the experience and the service and, you know, that's me.
Yeah. I mean, I send customers to you all the time.
I know you do.
And the main reason why I send them to you, especially like international guys, is because you'll go through the effort of filling out the customs form and actually, whereas a lot of stores won't do that.
Right.
So.
Yeah. What else you got?
I got nothing.
Well, we need 15 more minutes.
I mean, we could talk about
3 full hours.
Any number of things, but.
Well, I was just going to say that Mikey's phone is going off all the time, hours of the night. A little plug for him.
No, I mean, but that comes with the territory, right?
Facebook
messages,
we were driving
email,
here today. We were driving here today, my phone rings, and it's like, you know, iHeart, Cali, HP, or something. I'm like, it's like an Instagram voice call. People, Facebook message call me, Instagram call me, and I'll answer the phone, and I'll be like, hello? Hey, is this Skip? I'm like, yeah. It's like, yeah, this is so-and-so. I'm like, okay. He's like, what can I do for you? No, man, I just want to see what's up. I saw you were in Florida. It's like, yeah, we're in Florida. Okay, cool, man. So how's it going? And I'm like, I don't even fucking know you.
Right. It's going well.
But it's like me just calling up, you know, the weatherman at the news station.
Right.
So, and hey, you know, calling their Instagram, going. Yeah. And it's like, you know, like it doesn't bother me.
Right.
Or I'll be in.
This is strange.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that you won't FaceTime dudes is strange.
I went to Kansas City. I had a completely not related to cigars meeting with a guy who's a friend of mine in Kansas City. So I flew up to Kansas City. I landed, posted, hey, I'm in Kansas City. Went to this restaurant, took a picture of my meal, posted it online. Mm. We're sitting there eating, talking business, investment stuff, venture capital stuff. And this guy walks up to the table. Hey, are you Skip Martin? I'm like, yeah. It's like, oh man, I saw you were here. I just want to stop by and say, I'm like, okay. Have you eaten? Are you gonna eat? No, I already ate, man. I'm like, okay. Well, we're kind of eating in a. And he's like, He goes, well, I just want to hang out with you. I'm like, well, we're gonna be over here later.
Right.
Like, okay, well, I'll see you over there. So then I get a message later, like, hey, where are you at? I'm like, what are you talking about? It's like we just decided to go to a different place. And he was overweighting at the other place.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, okay, I'll head over there. Like, you know, we'll come hang out. No problem. But it's weird.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to say, like, I'm famous. I'm certainly not. I mean, I don't know why the fuck you'd want to hang out with a 300-pound.
No, you know. I mean, I feel like when Skip comes into town.
The disaster?
No, not disaster.
Oh.
No, but everyone comes.
You know,
everybody shows up.
Dave Garofalo asked me, you know, like, all these guys came to see you. I'm like, we are them.
Right.
That's the thing is we are, I mean, and you're still like that.
Right.
Just still like that. You know, we're that guy.
Right.
We just like smoking cigars and bullshitting, and we happen to be in the business, but.
Right.
But there are, I mean, there's this dynamic. I'm going to lay some real shit on you right here.
Okay.
Here we go.
There's this dynamic in the cigar world. And everybody talks about it, where you can go into a shop and there'll be a plumber, an electrician, a fucking Wall Street guy, whatever. They say that all the time. And that's absolutely true. But no matter who you are, you go into a cigar shop, if you're a regular in a shop, even if you're a straight fucking antisocial weirdo, people will let you hang out.
Right.
So you have no other friends in the world. You're a complete antisocial loser and everywhere in the world, like about to shoot people up from a clock tower or something. Right. But the 8 guys in the cigar shop will let you hang out and bullshit with them.
Right.
There's a lot of those guys around the cigar
world. Sure. Socially inepts.
Right. And the problem is that those guys have so much of their personal value of them as personal self-esteem wrapped up into it.
Right.
That... And especially when they follow you on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, and they feel like your best friends.
Right.
And I generally will remember thousands of people. I'm not as good at it as, say, like someone like John Drew, who's freakishly good at it.
Right.
But I will generally, especially if you tell me your Instagram name or whatever, I'll remember.
Right.
You know, oh, yeah, you just had a baby or whatever. Right. But these guys are like, will come up and go, hey, Skip, what's up, man? Like we're, you know... college roommates.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, what's up, man? You know, oh, yeah. Oh, man, I just got off work. You know, shit with my wife. You know, like, okay. It's like, okay, that's cool, man. What are you smoking? And it's like, oh, man, you know. And it's like, I don't know who the fuck this guy is.
Right.
I literally don't know who this guy is.
Right.
And it you know, I feel bad about it, but then the guy in the shop will pull you over and go, watch out for that guy. Like, he's... I mean, I've had that interaction here.
I don't know what you're talking about.
you want to tell that story?
He came in today.
Sure.
We all
and
left when
he
was
coming. Then he left.
Jared.
Which one? The one.
Jared.
Jared.
Yeah. No, but it was the other one that came in. I thought it was his brother. No.
So I came here for an event.
Skip will tell the story.
I'll tell part of it, and then Mike can fill in his reality version of it. I came in for an event, and if you know anything about me, I'm not great at events. Michael do an event like a pro.
Right.
I'll go sit at a table, and if you want to talk about tobacco or what, like this kind of conversation, I could have this all night.
Right.
Let's pour a beer and let's have this kind of conversation. So this guy comes up to me, he goes, "Hey, I'm a big fan. I've been a fan, you know, ever since Mike started caring." And he goes, "You know, I just really," he goes, "my brother's coming in. I want to buy him a cigar, and I really want him to love Roma Craft the way I love Roma Craft." I'm like, "Man, from really sincerely, that means a lot to me that you are that kind of fan, but also that you know, that it means something to you that your brother likes our brand as well." I said, "Well, what does he normally smoke?" He's like, "Well, you know, he normally smokes Romeo and Juliet, Real,
right.
Whatever." And I'm like, or Monte Cristo White or whatever it was, the Caldwell example. So I said, "Well, man," I said, "honestly, I'm gonna be honest with you. You know this. We don't have anything like that."
Right.
I said, I've walked customers into a humidor and said, "Look, you want this Davidoff or you want this? You don't want one of my cigars."
Right.
Right. Given what you've told me. So I'm like, "Okay, well, let's get him this. You know, this is pretty approachable. It's medium, whatever." So forget about it. He buys two or three of those. He goes, sits down at the table. "Hey, well, what flavor notes you get on this?" Whatever. I'm like, "Oh, well, I don't know about this." So I finally Mike comes over and starts talking to him. Cool. You know, Mike's handling it a lot better than I am.
Right. Because Mike is sales.
Right.
And you're not.
So then his brother comes in. He gives his brother the cigar. And he leans over and he goes, "My brother really doesn't like the cigar." I'm like, "Okay, yeah, can't win them all." You know, I kind of saw that one coming.
Right.
He goes, "Yeah, but he says it's bad tobacco and it's not burnt." I'm like, "Look, dude, we don't make cigars like that." I said, "Let me see it." I said, "Yeah, it's perfectly fine." I said, "Maybe he just doesn't like it." He goes, "Yeah," but he's like, his whole thing was wrapped around making his brother believe that he was good at picking out cigars.
Right.
In which case, you would have picked out the cigar I told you to pick out.
Right.
Not one of mine. But then he got personally upset about it, and at that point I lost patience and I was like, "I don't know what the fuck to tell you. Like, I'll give your money back, I'll go buy you another cigar of someone else's,
right?
You know, I don't know what to tell you." And he's like, "Well, fuck you, you know, this, that, the other."
Uh-huh.
I'm like, "Fuck you, you know." I don't know, you tell your half of the story, but it was basically that, right?
Yeah, no, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah,
pretty accurate.
And then the guy sat there like, you know, like I thought he was literally gonna stab me or something. I was ready for my defensive move.
the body slam. He was into his cups, so you know he was gassed up. He still hates you to this day, by the way.
He loves to retell the story.
Yeah. That's fine.
His version
is
does. totally far off base.
I could have completely cut that thing off at the pass and told you to buy a Romeo and Julieta.
Right.
You know,
it's a great
I don't
story.
Know what to tell you.
It was epic. It was fucking epic.
Yeah,
I'm glad it happened.
I'll tell you a story about Mike. We were at a store in Indiana. We had driven from Chicago to Indiana.
Jeffersonville?
Springfield. No, we were north, like whatever. Off is that? That's Indiana, right?
Yeah.
When
you come,
come out of Chicago. Yeah.
So we were at this event at Shaw's place, we were selling cigars, and Mike was doing his thing, and this guy comes up and he says, "Hey, man, what T-shirts do you have?" And Mike says, "Dude, we make cigars, not T-shirts." And the guy's like, "Okay, well, fuck you then."
Right.
And he kind of walks away. And he goes on Twitter and he's like, "I drove an hour and a half to come meet Mike and Skip, and the guy basically motherfucked me." And he, and then he's driving back, and I'm messaging, and I'm like, "Mike, did you just tell this guy?" He goes, "Yeah, I was totally kidding. Like, we don't have any T-shirts here. I would have totally..." So I'm like, you know, "Well, you know, we're going to send this guy a T-shirt and, you know..." But that guy drove an hour and a half to get there.
Right.
And he spent 2 minutes talking to Mike, and then he left.
Instead of driving back.
Right? And so Mike, of course, is like, "Fuck that guy."
Right.
You're like, "I don't make T-shirts. What do you mean to tell you?"
Right.
Plus, the guy was like 5X. So, like, what the fuck am I going to do with that?
Yeah, I drove 3 hours for a T-shirt.
You actually drove 2 hours for to chauffeur. Is what you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To watch a podcast. All
right. So you want to call it there, pal?
It's up to Skip.
That's fine with me. I'm sure people have long ago tuned out.
Well, we're going to break this
apart. We'll break it into three episodes.
And Jeff's got to get on a plane in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's 2 o'clock.
You've got to edit out about an hour of this.
No way. What are you talking about?
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show, obviously, and I appreciate all the knowledge that you share with me fucking annually at this point. You know, we've been course, going at man. This shit for a while, and, you know, I look forward to all the adventures that we've had or going to have moving forward, you know?
Yeah, you know, people ask me all the time, you know, why we do private labels for you, but we don't do it for other people. And really, I don't even like that we do it for you.
Right. But, right place, right time, honest. Buddy. Right
yeah,
place,
I mean,
right time.
It's because Jeff doesn't have a private label. He's asked for one about a dozen times.
Right.
Not yet.
But it's because, you know, I basically said to you, okay, give me $50,000,
right.
Spend 20 hours here.
Right.
And you did every single thing.
Yeah.
And that's why you have one and no one else does.
Right.
Because Jeff wasn't about to do that. he had, you know, lesbians and ex-wives to pay off.
I'll tell you what. You know, coming up with that first 50 wasn't easy either.
Lesbians and ex-wives to pay off.
Right.
My life story.
Okay. You can write a book. So, yeah, that's what I got, man. And
well, thanks for having me. I'm glad we drove up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my bedtime's not for another 3
oh,
hours.
Oh, yeah, no, we're hanging out. I'm just getting this fucking mic out from my face. Clean this place
there
up.
There is no air conditioning down here.
No.
And we may have put too much smoke in the air for Greg.
There was no smoke. Nobody smoked in here.
Never happened.
Just so you know, he's still at the house with the kids.
Is he?
Yep. I texted him. I've been in communication with him.
All right, cool.
He's drinking your good scotch.
Maybe we go back there?
Well, hopefully we can get you some subscribers.
One or two.
Your new intro music, it's pretty solid.
Thank you.
You know, it's we got some good fans that kind of help us along the way.
Yeah, so. I'm the one guy in Nicaragua that listens every week.
Right. Yeah.
Have you found out the guy from North Dakota?
No, not yet.
Did you lose the guy in Djibouti?
We did get Djibouti. What was
he
the new country?
He moves.
Moves?
Yeah,
he moves snatched to Djibouti.
Not,
he's in the Air Force.
He's
so.
On the the Key West submarine.
Oh, that's
guy
Andrew McCreary, right?
Nope.
No.
No. I won't disclose his name.
Can't say who he is.
It's really bad.
We're cool, days man. Away from video.
I'll keep listening every week.
Thanks, bud.
Thank you.
That. And I'll send you my critique notes every week.
That's nice of you. A little fine-tuning.
We could FaceTime him at the show meetings on Monday now.
He doesn't FaceTime, dudes.
Oh, that's right.
I won't FaceTime. Only on accident. I accidentally one time answered Mike's FaceTime.
Moment of weakness. So if he's in Austin, what I'll do is I'll FaceTime Rosales, and I'm like, yo, go get the phone to Skip. So he'll walk up to him, and he's like, get the fuck away from me.
You're Rosales FaceTime all the time.
Oh, yeah, all the time. Yeah. He's got this crazy thing. I don't know what the fuck
he's, it is. He's got a better relationship with Mike than me, anyway.
It's like a bromance kind of thing.
This is a conversation between Mike and I. I have a question. Like he doesn't say,
Skip.
Can I ask you a question?
Because
that's a question.
I have a question.
Okay. Then he'll say, you know, here's the question. And I answer. Like, you know, one word. Thank you.
That's it.
I have another question.
One more question.
Don't be a time suck.
Right.
That's exactly. A theme, right?
Yeah, don't be a time suck. Got no
plus,
one to
if
leave.
You send it to me at 2 in the morning, I'm much more likely to be...
Oh, yeah. If I send it to you at like 10 a.m., I know that I got to wait a while. Mm. Skip one question, and then I'll go get do something, and then I'm like, oh, fuck.
That's why you have the alarm at like 6 p.m., 7 p.m.
6 p.m., 7 p.m.?
Yeah, you got to send Skip.
Arnold would be like, who are you chatting with? I'm like, these fucking needy fucks.
He's talking about us, Mike.
Right, exactly.
Well, right. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man.
It was great.
I'll have to do it again. A four-parter next time.
This might be one of the three episodes I don't listen to.
Because you lived it, Dottie. You lived it. All right,
that's it. Thanks. Bye.
Hello, this is a prepaid collect call from the Correctional Institution. This call is subject to recording and monitoring. To accept charges, press 1. To refuse charges, thank you for using T-Netics.
This has been a Cigar Hustlers podcast, a Mike and Mike production. Be sure to listen every Tuesday at 10 a.m. for all new episodes with some of the biggest names in the cigar industry. You can follow the guys on Instagram at Cigar Hustler for Mikey and FCC_Mike for Mike 2. You can also follow the show on Instagram at A Cigar Hustler Podcast and on the Facebook page and the all-new YouTube channel. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on whichever podcast provider you choose. Thanks for listening.